The Shared Desk, Episode 12. Can I sing along to the song? No.
There are no lyrics. There are no lyrics to our theme.
Yeah, there are. They're called Give Me the Mic.
What do you speak of, woman? I swear. Hey, everybody. It is episode 12 of The Shared Desk, recorded, well, this time with a third friend. We're gonna get to introducing her in just a second, but let's just make introductions all around. I am T. Morris.
And I'm Philippa Valentine.
And we have, like I said, special guest. Please, go on ahead and sign in and introduce yourself as the music begins to fade out.
And I am Lisa Moore.
Now, you've heard us talk about Lisa Moore. You will see on tmorris.com you will see a blog post coming up that was partially inspired by Lisa.
The Skylanders
blog post. That's coming up tomorrow.
Well, we've talked about Skylanders. We talked about it last time.
We've talked about Skylanders and we actually talked about.
So now it's only fair that we bring in the person responsible.
Yes, all my fault.
It is all
glad
your
you
fault.
Accept
yes,
that.
Yes. The first sign of recovery is acceptance. So welcome aboard. Yes.
Why is she here?
Thank you very much.
And let's see. Let's try that again. What have we been accomplishing this week? Let's go ahead and let's start with our guest. Lisa, what have you accomplished writing-wise and since the past two weeks?
The past 2 weeks, I have actually finished the second to last chapter of the first novel of my trilogy.
Ooh.
Very nice.
So I am working on that last chapter so that I can put it in the drawer for a month and then go back to edit and hopefully get it ready for sending out.
Yeah, that's... I love putting in the draw stage.
Yeah, yeah.
I love putting things in the draw. What about you, Mr. Morris?
Well, yesterday, because we are releasing this on a Wednesday, yesterday was Tuesday, Steam Tuesday, as a matter of fact, I released my very first novella.
Mm.
My very first novella. And
the odd redheaded stepchild of a short story novel.
I released Out into the Wilds, Aladdin and His Wonderfully Infernal Device. I had Pip edit it. I was very pleased with the final results.
Made your own cover?
Made my own cover. Had a blast doing that. And we put it out there. And right now, I think it's doing quite well.
And yet you only released it on Kindle.
Well,
yes.
There's a reason for that. Don't you dare do the whole...
No, I was going yes, because I was about to explain
the reason.
It's all to do with the KDP program, which is the Kindle program. We're doing this whole experiment 2012 where we're trying to give things away. And Kindle has this weird thing about not wanting to give stuff away. But if you're enrolled in their KDP program, which you have to give them exclusivity for 3 months, then you can get some days where you can provide it for free. So
that's why she made the call. Yeah.
Bazinga.
No.
You can only have the short drop-ins then.
Yeah, I guess I will.
Or, I tell you what, ring a bell and you put in a drop-in, and then Lisa Ann will know that you're
talking.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That will be spontaneous. Woo. Okay, why don't I just...
Some people might be glad that you don't have to play, you can't play with the drop-ins more.
Possibly.
Like me.
Yeah, like you, yeah.
Why is she here?
What about you, Pip? What have you been doing? What have you been doing writing-wise?
I finished Mechanical Wings.
Yes, you did.
And I sent it off to Ace, and then they sent it back and said, tighten it up. That was the entire editorial comment. Tighten up the 8 pages, sorry.
Tighten up the first 8
my
pages.
Floppy, fuzzy, I don't know, jiggly
were
8
pages. I was going to say, were your 8 pages hitting the bonbons? Were they needing a nip-tuck somewhere?
I think they needed a nip-tuck. So I went through and slashed a few sentences, and hopefully that's okay. I started a couple more short stories, and spent a lot of time on Ancestry.com.
yeah, that was the other odd thing that happened this week. For some reason, Pip got a beaner bonnet. I will say this. She's been wanting to do something nice for my folks. And so
I married their son, but you know, apparently that's not enough.
No, that's not enough. So Pip agreed to go on ahead and do a little genealogy research for my father.
Are we still working on it?
We've been working on it, but we found out a couple of things. One, we found out that that the Morris family has been in Virginia for a long, long time.
Yes, you are indeed a well-seasoned...
A son of Virginia. Yes.
No, I was going to say a well-seasoned ham.
A well-seasoned southern ham, as it were.
But I think that almost counts as historical research because I'm taking some of the names out of there and I'm going to use them in short stories and stuff. Some of the names are just so fantastic that I just like, oh, I want to write about that person.
So the reason why we brought Lisa on board was not necessarily to talk about Skylanders, and ironically, it has something to do
with Have you played Cindy yet? Sorry.
Yeah.
No, I haven't. Not yet.
It's still probably in this packaging. But the so this past week, the whole thing really, the ball really got rolling on, was it Friday?
Oh, yeah. Thursday or Friday last week?
It was Valentine's Day.
Oh. Yeah, it was Valentine's Day.
There's nothing like that as a
nothing
gift.
Nothing says Valentine's Day quite like being told that you're going to get a probe sponsored by the state.
Some people want a probe, but not that kind.
Yeah.
Not that kind. No.
Yeah. And now, all right, first off, before you start reaching for the iPods, like going, no.
Don't talk about it.
Let's back up and hang on. The Shared Desk is a writing podcast. Yes, it is. It is a writing podcast. Always will be a writing podcast, which is why we are taking on this topic of when writers step up versus when writers should simply saint foo. Now, where am I going with this? Okay, it's what happened on Valentine's Day. For those people who don't know or haven't heard, or for whatever reason, live under a rock and just go nowhere near Facebook, because the last thing you're going to hear on Facebook is talk about politics.
Don't live in the state of Virginia.
Or don't live in the state of Virginia. Let me go on.
Ooh, what? There's people that don't live in Virginia.
There are going to be links in the show notes about the protest that just happened yesterday. There's going to be links in the show notes about the story that kind of lit this powder keg. It was actually pardon the pun, a two-pronged attack. What it was, yeah, that was coming from the guy, too. In a nutshell, what happened was that Virginia is trying to get legislation passed, trying to make...
The Republican Party
in the Virginia Senate. Let's clarify this.
And a lady in the Republican Party.
Yes,
right.
Wow.
Well, whomever it is, basically, and that's why I'm just going to paint with a broad brush, politicians in Virginia are trying... And I'm painting with a broad brush because, quite honestly, both sides of my opinion are at fault because they let this stupid bill get this far. They want to make in Virginia a law that states that if you want to have a, I'm just going ahead and say it, if you want to have an abortion, you have to subject yourself to a probe. Now, this is not...
it's an ultrasound probe.
It's an ultrasound probe, you know? It's an ultrasound probe. Now... You know, when you first think that, you go, oh, yeah, you get the gel on the tum-tum, you get the thing. No, this thing looks like a flipping lightsaber.
It's a foot long.
It's a $5 foot long. And it gets shoved up your yahoo. And then they basically wiggle it around until, hey, look, we just found Waldo. And then they try to show you the image of the ultrasound. They probably turn up the sound so you can hear the heartbeat, and then they go, "Do you want to go through with this?" Now, that happened around the same time as the whole backlash concerning the Obama administration saying that they wanted to go on ahead and include coverage for contraception, and what followed was a congressional hearing. A congressional hearing that was pretty much male-dominated. It was a sausage fest. In fact, the image that went viral were the row of guys, ranging from priests to quote-unquote professionals, what have you. Basically, all these guys with a whole bunch of women giving them the stink eye like you wouldn't believe because they weren't invited to talk. And the one witness that was invited to talk, according to the Republican that was heading up the hearing, he basically said she wouldn't be an appropriate witness. Now, before anybody calls in the feedback line at 703-791-1701, before anybody leaves comments, before anybody does this, I am giving you this background information to talk about not the issue, but about writers stepping up. This is where I'm going to I'm going to segue over to Pip, and then we're going to get to Lisa in just a second. Yeah. So what happened, Pip? Tell us what happened.
Well, usually I don't...
I'm sorry, you're a woman. Your voice does not count here. Next. Okay.
Watch as I just take this pen and... well, usually I don't like to stick my head up and complain about things. My theory has always been, don't bother feeding the trolls. Don't bother getting yourself involved, because it's a zero-sum game. You're never going to convince people necessarily in your particular direction. So why bother? You know, my thoughts are my own. Scare
them. Pain is scary. Just do it right.
Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, so but I decided to stick my head up on Facebook, and I severely wished I hadn't, because I was accused of being, a rampant feminist and a sexist and also other things, and I was told that I was disappointing.
And why?
Because I was supposedly calling someone a sexist, which I wasn't. I was in no way intending to do that. I was talking about the fact that women, men can't understand what women's experience of their woman bits are,
mm-hmm.
any more than men can experience, than women can understand what it is to have men bits.
Right.
Because that's just a biological fact. I happen to like men.
Yeah, I don't think that's the issue here. But so before we
it was brought up.
Well, it was brought up. Yes, it was brought up. Now that being
really?
Yeah, and we're getting to you, Lisa, in just a moment, because I would like to read very quickly. I like to read this from your blog post, which can be found. That this is the blog post that is called, if I scroll up to the top, it is called "Welcome Back to the 1950s. We missed you. Not really." And that can be found at Life in a Nutshell. The URL is LIADONA, LIADONA.com. You can follow the link in the show notes. But I want to read this quick little thing. First off, this blog post is very heartfelt. It is very raw. It is very much... When I say in your face, I don't mean in your face, but it is in your face.
It's very honest.
It is very honest. It's a very honest blog post. But what really struck out and what is appropriate for this show is right here. I made a promise to a friend of mine that I wasn't going to talk too much about those rights online, as they make her a bit uncomfortable. To be honest, I've gotten sick and tired of the political talk, and we haven't hit June yet. So the machines are still just cranking up. I've gotten attacked by people who just take a look at me or my faith and assume they know my political mind frame, my beliefs, etc. But there are certain things that are too important to stop talking about. Now, before we get into what we should be talking about, let's go on ahead and let's bring Lisa into the conversation. Lisa.
Yes.
What kind of feedback have you been getting from this blog post that you put up?
Believe it or not, very little.
Huh?
Really?
Probably because nobody knows how to respond.
Well, after we've sent them to that, you could be getting feedback.
You might be getting some feedback.
Well, this is true. Let me, if you don't mind my being honest here
as
well.
As you feel comfortable, you know.
I made peace with what happened a very, very long time ago.
Because the details of this are on the blog post, and I'm just gonna leave it there. But the topic about this is that
my point being,
yes.
And I'm going to say it like this, but when reading that, I don't think anyone knows how to respond to that.
That's true.
Right.
And sometimes being that raw and honest, sometimes people aren't, you know.
However, I had talked to some people before I published this, specifically people who knew both parties. And they were very supportive.
Right. Now, what we're here to talk about is not necessarily the politics of what's been transpiring, not necessarily the subject matter of the blog post. But what were your thoughts as a writer? And I'm not, mm-hmm. I am going to say this. Yeah, you're not published yet, but you're working towards it. You're working towards it. And something that we talk about on the show a lot is about how writers come across. And the questions that I have here for both of you is how you felt, one, as a published author, and two, as a soon-to-be-published author, about stepping up and voicing opinions that, let's face it, not everybody's going to like. I'm going to start with you, Lisa, before I turn it back over to Pat.
Sure. Well, I wrote this blog on February 15th, mm-hmm. and I didn't publish it until yesterday.
Well, that's smart. That's smart.
Okay. It took me a week to publish it for a couple of reasons. One, let me rephrase that. I wrote it, I published it at 1 a.m. without realizing I hit publish, and I took it back down. But not before a couple people had read it.
They were waiting.
Well, no, I took it back down at 7:30 the next morning. Oh. They were awake then. And they had actually asked me to put it back up. And I said, you know, I have to think about it. And that's my thought was this. Really, I'm trying to create a brand. Mm-hmm. And my words are my brand. So here I am putting it all out there. And this is nonfiction about me, about who I am. It is definitely going to color every single thing that anyone reads about me if they see this blog or if they hear this blog. So, having worked in the internet industry from 1995 until 2001, and then before that working in the entertainment industry, I know what that means. It means, you know, if your brand is you, mm-hmm. you have to be very careful about your brand. But it just got to the point where I couldn't not say something.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I said, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to be in for a penny, in for a pound. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. I'm going to stand up for myself. I'm going to stand up for everyone like me. I've never been shy, as you guys both know. I've never been very shy. But it's not... it's not shyness, and it's not shame for my not having said anything about this particular situation with me. It's more, so, is Ace or Harper or Tor or whomever I go with, or William Morris, or whichever agency I go with, going to be willing to stand by me and sell me if they know that this is in my background?
And you see, I think that's something I'm going to come back to after Pip. I want to hear your opinions on. Mm-hmm. I mean, now Pip, you're established. You've got established being the way I'm defining established, in that you've got two series currently out. You have a third series getting ready to start up with Pyre, mm-hmm. and really you haven't voiced too much of an opinion on anything topical like this, this. So what was running through your mind when you said, I'm not going to Saint Fu, I'm not going to sit this one out, I'm actually going to go for it?
I think there are some issues that are very important. And there's also the whole thing about publishing being, well, in recent history, anti-feminine. You know, we met Kit Carr and we talked to her in...
Catherine Carr,
sorry. And at the San Francisco Writers Convention last year, and she was talking about some of the sexism and stuff that she encountered.
And it was happening like in the 90s, if I remember
correctly. What she was talking about was happening in the 90s. Yeah, yeah. So I think you know, it's not talking about something can actually harm, you know, other writers and other people. And I would pick and choose what I said. I'm not going to jump on the political bandwagon for every little thing. I'm not going to be one of those people. But on the same time, I'm also a person, and I don't think that I should have to necessarily keep all of my opinions to myself. I noticed that Catherine, she talks about Facebook. She gave this whole issue a huge amount of coverage herself. So when I looked at her, I was like, well, you know what? I have opinions too, and I'm a woman, so I think I can, you know, be... I'm not as qualified to talk about it as people who have had terrible experiences, but I have had some experiences that I thought were relevant. I mean, and I haven't been talking about it all week.
And I think that's where...
I've been posting links and talking about it that way as well.
And I think that's part of the... That's part of the fine line that we as writers of any stature, of any standing, walk. Mm-hmm. For example, I mean, and going back to something you said, Lisa, you were worried about how this is going to reflect against your brand. Now, Lisa, if you were doing weekly posts like the one you just did, first off, one, I'd be like, okay, why is this woman not talking to someone qualified, and why is she blogging about it? That'd be my first thing. Second thing would be, well, okay, then I would worry about you, because you'd be making a reputation on this thing, on this hot topic. But I think one blog post is not going to necessarily shoot your career in the foot. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
Well, some authors have made their whole career out of talking about specific things.
See, that's something else. And I promise I would never drop the name, but I'm going to go ahead and use Harlan Ellison as a really good example.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to use Harlan Ellison as an example because really he tends to be this...
He does have some good points. He's, you know, got writers should get paid.
Yes, he has some great points about writers getting paid. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But
they kind of get lost in the rest.
They get lost in some of the other rhetoric that he gets on a high horse about. And it's stuff that doesn't even have anything to do with writing, which is what we're talking about right here. And then, you know, I just recently saw him on a series, and they were referring to him as one of the science fiction legends, Harlan Ellison. And when he talks about science fiction, when he talks about his genre, that's when I think he's at his best. It's when he starts losing himself in other rhetoric and he suddenly becomes the cranky old man that's telling kids to get the hell off his lawn. I have to sit back and I go, okay, how much of what we're, you know, if he's a science fiction legend, what has he written lately? You know, I mean, it just seems like what has he written relevant? You know, this is the guy who basically takes pride in the fact that he doesn't use a computer. And I'm sitting there going, has Harlan Ellison become famous for A, being a science fiction legend, or B, being the grumpy old man on the porch of his house? And you see some authors fall into that trap, but I see them doing that on a regular basis. I'll go ahead and name drop again, Bain Books. I have been on panels before with Bain authors, and when I mean Bain authors, I specifically speak of the Bain Mafia, who I categorize as Ringo, Flint, and Drake, and Weber. I've been on panels with them before, and it's a very uncomfortable situation because I remember being on a panel with David Drake, and he went off on something about, on some kind of tangent where he was talking about, it went from Vietnam to being a lawyer to being a bus driver, all by choice.
Oh, goodness.
The topic was building better worlds in science fiction.
Well, if you're writing bus drivers.
And while I was sitting there looking at him like, what is going on? People in the audience were like, oh, yeah, that's Drake. And I'm like, okay. And then I found out that there are people that go to see John Ringo on panels. I've been told this specifically, so they can see how John Ringo is going to push people's buttons. Not necessarily what he has to say, But how is he going to push that
people
one...
People looking for the car wreck.
Exactly. They're, it's like it's there are two types of hockey fans. There are the hockey fans that go to see hockey, and then the hockey fans that go to see the fights. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I think, I really believe that we as authors, whatever status we're at, we as authors have to pick and choose our battles very carefully.
I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Do you think I should have just not bothered? Because part of me thinks, why did I bother getting into that, commenting on somebody else's post?
Well, you know, Philippa.
Being
a woman, I tell you not to worry.
Oh,
your
I'm
going to
slap you so senseless.
Hold on.
Can I reach through the microphone?
Just let me get this one drop in.
Well, you're right about this being a bad idea.
Thanks for saying, sir.
I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, did I think Pip was?
I think
was,
you actually told me why did you said something to me like.
No, I said, Pip, it's time to let it go.
Yeah.
And when I said it's time to let it go, it's when you get people that are saying things like, I'm very disappointed in you, Philippa. When I read that comment, when I saw that comment, I was like, really? Really? Pip is not allowed to have an opinion on this. Well, one, I think you're missing the point.
His thing was that he was disappointed that I was sexist.
Yeah. I'm disappointed that the cat's peeing in the corner. I'll get it later, ladies and gentlemen, don't worry. Bissell.com. I was disappointed. I was more disappointed by the fact that people took offense and that people were calling Pip feminist, because I'm sitting there going, really, there isn't anything feminist about this issue. I mean, in particular, the fact that Pip was taking offense to this, I'm sitting there going, no, because this is something that I, as a parent, was pretty offended by, was worried about, because in a worst case scenario, what if that's the boom? What if that's the boom? And it's a hard line. But there's going to be some things that you will want to take a stand on, and things that you won't. Mm. I'll give you a good example of when I took a stand. It was nothing anywhere near this, but it was still something that I felt very very tough about, because one of the things that I believe in, as passionately as you do, Lisa, is the First Amendment. I studied it in college. I respect the First Amendment. I believe in the First Amendment, both its pros and its cons. But on Facebook, and I gotta back up again, on my blog, on Twitter, on Facebook, I do not censor people. I do not tell people, gee, that was a real tacky thing to say. Gee, that was a real dumb thing to say in public. You could have DM'd me. I don't correct anybody, and I definitely don't remove people's comments. If they've got something critical to say on my blog, on my Facebook, et cetera, I leave it up there.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a really, really beautiful, I got very choked up when I saw it, this very beautiful video about a child, I can't remember if it was a little boy or a little girl, but they had been given an implant that was going to make them hear for the first time. It was an infant.
Oh, yes, I remember seeing that video, yeah.
And it is just, I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. It's this beautiful moment of a child.
Baby.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I'll hold your hand.
I'll get choked up as I clean up the cat pee. But but in this video, it was a true miracle. It was a miracle of science. It was a miracle of God, in my opinion. It was something that was very moving, and a friend of mine who is also very Christian, but is also a scientist. And one of the things that she's doing is she is searching for a cure for cancer. That is her job. That is what her grant is all about. She said, and I said, when I posted this, I said, look, I know that I have many, many people in my circles that are of different beliefs. They are Christians. They are Muslims. They are atheists. They are agnostic. You know what? This is a real miracle. And my friend, who's the scientist and the Christian, she basically said something like, remember that inspiration's got to come from somewhere. Why can't it come from a higher power? And that was all she said. And then an atheist friend of mine went on and he was like, but isn't it more powerful to believe that instead of an all imaginary creature that looks over all of us, it was just the way things are? And I saw that atheist comment and I was like, wow, that's basically like coming into my house, pissing on my furniture and then saying, yeah, that's how I feel, and then walking out. I really took offense to the comment, and I did something that I have done maybe 3 times ever on my blogs and in my Facebook. I deleted the comment, and I was waiting. And actually, Kian McMahon, I remember on Twitter before I deleted the comment saying, "Meltdown, Team Monster Meltdown, and Flame War in 3, 2," and I deleted the comment instead. And I went on Twitter and Facebook and said, "Yes, I deleted the comment because you know what? Today I don't need that." I really don't need that. If you can't respect my views and if you can't respect my feelings, then guess what? Please don't comment. And if you feel free to drop me, drop me. Good news is that friend never dropped me, but I felt like I was censoring that guy. However, I had to make the call. And I think that's something that we have to do as writers is we have to make the call on what we're going to voice our opinions on and what we're not. I don't think that was going to affect my career, but at the same time, I know that I do that once in a blue moon. Now, Lisa, you may think differently. You may think that, do you think that one incident, an isolated incident like this, could damage your potential career or your potential representation from an agent?
It depends. It depends on how viral and how I manage the I'll just say the word fallout from this particular soapbox stance that I've taken. I'm a former debater.
Yes, I remember those days.
Take out the word "former." You can never say the word. You can never be a former debater. I know this, but a reformed debater, maybe. You can't.
Every time you try to get out, they pull you back in.
And I'm also the grandchild of a constitutional attorney.
Well, there you go.
That's
a double whammy right there.
That is. My grandfather actually argued in front of the Supreme Court not once but twice. So I feel very strongly that it is important to stand up and be heard and be counted. However, I think that you also have to manage how you do it. If you stand up and do, here's an example. There's a friend of mine. The latest and greatest is there's some representative out in, I think it's Iowa, who's refusing to sign a bill proclaiming yay Girl Scouts for their 100th anniversary because there's supposedly some link between the Girl Scouts and Planned Parenthood, and Planned Parenthood is sexualizing Girl Scouts. Did you know this?
No. Oh, dear.
Yes, this is a new one today.
Oh.
Anyway.
And the hits just keep on coming.
Oh, yes, they do. So a friend of mine posted this on his page, and a friend of his who happens to feel very strongly in the pro-life category got very nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And started stating, well, these are facts, and you don't know your facts. And I just said, okay. And I said very calmly, please show me your facts. I want to see the data. I don't know about this. I'd like to see the data. And then he starts accusing me of lambasting him and of being negative.
Oh,
and I'm like, no, I just want to see the facts. I'm willing to read whatever you send me. I just like to see the facts. And as long as I keep level-headed, I think that I may be able to manage how the marketing of my brand goes.
Yeah, I think perhaps I was... I look back at it now last week, and I think perhaps I should have taken a step back and probably let a level head prevail and not replied to it, because I think I got a little bit...
No, I got a little bit angry. I would disagree.
But I feel like I obviously wasn't communicating what I actually meant to the person, and that's why he took it the wrong way. Whereas perhaps if I'd taken a breath, I would have thought of a better way to... It happened the first thing in the morning when I woke up, and I just spent the previous night... We didn't get much sleep the night before.
Well, no, and then we also stayed up late that night, because that's when I wrote to my Virginia representative.
So basically, when I woke up first thing in the morning and I looked on Facebook, that was the first thing I saw.
Now, I would say yes, that was a mistake. Because
I don't think it was a mistake for me to voice my opinions.
No, it was not a mistake. It was not a mistake to voice opinions. I don't think it was a mistake for that passionate blog post that you wrote. But when it takes away from your writing,
but Lisa's was considered.
Lisa's was exactly.
Mine was kind
Thank
of.
You.
I woke up and I was off the.
You were.
I was cranky. I was angry. I was upset. I was actually frightened for our family. When I saw that on Facebook, I was just like, ooh.
Yeah, and I just and that set it off.
And now, I think perhaps that's I obviously didn't communicate what I would. I do take offense at being called a feminist as if it's some kind of evil label.
And I'm a little miffed about that too, because I'm like,
that
look,
wasn't the original person that I posted for. That was some Australian.
Right, right.
Which
right.
I can understand. I'm sorry. That's the first thing I saw when I saw who it was. I was like, oh, yeah, he's from Australia.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to get into that.
Well, no.
I am biting my tongue in my apple.
No, look, I got three words for the Australians. World Rugby Cup. All right, so,
I should have posted that back.
That's
instead.
What you should have posted in back, yeah. Now,
then he would have called me something else apart from a feminist. Winner.
Winner. Woohoo! But again, you see, I think that was a mistake.
I should have considered about
because
it. If I'd left it after breakfast, I probably wouldn't have bothered.
And that was the thing. When I voiced my opinion about it, mm-hmm. and I even told a passionate Facebooker, no, I think you're missing the big picture. The fact that all these guys are basically making this call. It's the guys that are making this call, and they're and really this isn't this also is something that really serves no purpose whatsoever. I voiced my opinion, and people still kept piling on.
How many comments
did you
get? I
got something over 93 comments on it, and I finally said, and before that, when it reached like 50, I went, I'm walking away from this. And people were still raging about it, and I'm just like,
You'd walked away long ago.
I'd walked away. I just walked away from it. I'm like, I'll be over here if you need me. In fact, I was still posting. Some other things, and people were still posting about. I'm like, where were these 90 comments when I went saying, hey, I got this novella that's live now. I got 36. Yeah. I'd rather have the 90 comments.
What you should do is, I've got this novella, and it contains important information about that probe in Virginia.
That probe in Virginia.
Then you would have got some retweets.
And the GOP love it, and then boom, I'd be starting getting the hits. It's got to be considered, but it's also got to be something too where authors got to say, okay, if I'm going to invest the time into this argument, I would go back to something that Lisa said that I think is pretty profound, concerning the fallout. Yes, there's going to be fallout if you mm-hmm. do something like this, but at the same time, how much you deal with that fallout? Mm-hmm. You've spoken your piece. It's time to move on. If you dwell on that fallout and mm-hmm. it starts to affect, and that was what I noticed with you, Pip, you lost about 2 days worth of writing.
I was angry. But it wasn't just that comment. That was the whole situation.
Well, and it was a double whammy, because there was the stuff that was happening on Capitol Hill and the stuff that was happening in the Virginia Senate. And keep this in mind.
It was just like the perfect storm of Pip rage.
It really...
Tino knows something about Pip rage.
And Pip, here's what I'm going to tell you. Pace yourself. We got a long way to
November. Oh, my gosh. I think I've blown all my Pip rage. I blew it last week. Now I'm just like a hollow shell of my of my former raging self. I just find, just as an aside, just coming from New Zealand, this whole thing mystifies the heck out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
If this was back in New Zealand, people would just be going, what?
But before any...
so that is also, in my defense, on Friday, there was also a certain amount of Stranger in a Strange Land shell shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, and keep in mind, I'll be the first one to say it before anybody else does, baby, you're not in New Zealand. I'm trying to tell you that. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that even I look at and go, yeah, I wish I was in New Zealand right now too.
Well, but beyond that, I mean, the few people who I've spoken with have all been out of state. None of them have been in Virginia.
Right.
And they've all gone, what in the world? So it's not just Stranger in a Strange Land, New Zealand to the United States. It's Stranger in a Strange Land everywhere else to Virginia.
But pulling it back, yeah, but pulling it back to the topic of the conversation is when did the... so I'm going to go on ahead and say it, you know, just get everybody's opinion. Lisa, when do you think authors cross that line? When do you think authors cross the line when they're not just speaking out against something they feel the need to speak out, and when they're just basically being I'm just going to go out and say it. When does an author speak out so much that it starts to affect the way you look at his or her work?
When you can no longer read their work without seeing what they have said politically.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any? Well, I guess we should avoid the name drops. I mean, I've already done some name drops.
I'm not going to name drop, but there's a couple different types of authors here that I'm thinking about. There's the fiction authors, and you know, here's a name drop. C.S. Lewis.
Well, he's dead, C.S. so he's not going to mind if you drop
yeah.
his name.
Yeah.
I love C.S. Lewis. I specifically love the Narnia series.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Here's a funny thing. When I was reading them as a kid, I never noticed the Bible thing.
Well, here's the thing. I'm Jewish.
Uh-huh.
I had no clue that there was anything biblical going on with this until I was in college.
And then you were like, what?
And then I was like, what? And so now I go back and I can't reread it without...
Can't avoid it.
I can't avoid it because avoid it. I went to a Methodist college. I took both Old and New Testament classes because, well, gee, I was kind of curious to see what the other half make, because I had no idea. And so now I just can't avoid it. And I go, oh, okay, I get it now, but I can't not see it either.
Right.
So it's changed the story for me.
But there are people like Margaret Atwood who write books that she is... blatant and unapologetic about The Handmaid's Tale.
Right.
Which could be coming.
but whoa. Margaret Atwood isn't a science fiction author.
And she's not.
Oh, geez.
She's not.
Don't you two get in on that.
That's a different issue.
Yeah.
Completely different.
However, what she...
Was
different.
The Handmaid's Tale set in the future?
It was set in the future, but
next week.
Speculative fiction.
It's next week.
That's next week. Oh, brother.
Not that fun.
I mean, no, but no, and I will say the same thing. And you know, I mean, I have tried to read books from the people that I have coined as the Bane Mafia, the gentleman that I've said, but it's nigh impossible. I can't read their books because of previous behaviors that I have been party to. I can't read most of the stuff coming from the Bane Mafia. I'd like to, because my friends in the military who all read it swear by it, but I can't read it. I can't read it based on the stuff that they've pulled on panels. Not just panels I've been on, but panels I've seen. And I'm just sitting there going, I came to learn about, you know, world building, and you guys are off on some tangent about Fox News.
That confuses the heck out of me.
And I'm
I think, yeah, I think for authors, it's about how much you do it. If you do it all the time, if you're banging on about your own political or moral or whatever drum all the time, then that's what you're going to be known for. And when people pick up your work, they're not going to be able to disassociate that from what you've written, even if what you've written has nothing to do with your political...
I'll I understand.
Mix it up, guys.
Yeah, mix it up. Mix it up. And I think, yeah, I think when you reach a point as an author that that you do, and I think this happens a lot, not just with authors, but with actors, with musicians, and all kinds of, you know, I mean, when they start using their fame or their notoriety or their success as a platform that has nothing to do with what got them there, I feel that that's almost like a rope-a-dope.
Well, how about this? How about the people who use the platform to get to the point that they want to get, for example, the writing contract or the acting contract or something like that, where they attach themselves to
a cause
or something like that, and that's what they do.
Well, I mean the one person that comes to mind is Glenn Beck,
because I remember that's one of them.
Because I mean, I know Glenn Beck has written his fair share of diatribes and you know, politically driven agenda kind of stuff. But then he turned around and he actually did a science fiction novel, like a post-apocalyptic sci-fi.
Really?
Novel. Yeah.
Yes, he did.
But in the same vein of what happened with Bill O'Reilly, where Bill O'Reilly has done his fair share of stuff and so on and so forth, Glenn Beck's sci-fi novel got about the same reception as Bill O'Reilly's Lincoln biography, which got lambasted by historians. I remember reading, you know, many a review from historians basically saying this is the one of the worst Lincoln books ever put together. Not because it's poorly written, but because the facts are all wrong. And it was the same thing with Glenn Beck. A lot of people were just saying that Glenn Beck couldn't. He had worked so hard making himself a voice of conservative politics, and when he tried to do science fiction, yeah, you couldn't take it seriously because you just thought it was an agenda masking a science fiction.
Right.
And I mean, granted, I know that science fiction can do that. I know science fiction can be a platform. Good Lord, you know, Roddenberry did it, and the producers of Star Trek Next Gen did it. Mm-hmm. I think it is. I think it's a two-edged sword. If you make yourself famous doing one thing so that you can do something else,
it's always going to taint it, really, isn't
yeah.
it? People are always going to look yeah. at it and go, oh, well, you know. I mean, so, you polarize people, really.
Right. I mean, you've got to, and I think what's important when authors want to make a stand on something, yeah. they just have to ask themselves, okay, is this a battle worth fighting? And if that's a battle worth fighting, how often am I going to fight it? Because if all you're doing is the diatribes, the ranting, and I hesitate to use the word ranting, but when all you're doing is just hammering away at the issues, and it starts taking away from the stuff you really want to do, which is writing fiction,
yeah,
I think it's a problem.
So are we gonna round this up by saying yeah. that a well placed, well considered, well thought out blog post now and again is not going to ruin you, but if you keep hammering on about your particular morals or your particular politics, you can taint how people perceive you, you know, and your work.
How's that sound, Lisa?
That sounds like the lessons I learned working online for all those years. Yes. Online and at MTV and Warner Brothers. Yes.
Then let's segue to the end. Hold on.
Nice segue.
Just kind of you know, ease into the end of the.
Of course, Lisa couldn't hear it, but it was.
But I'm sure she was thinking about it.
It was beautiful. You'll hear it later.
And what would and again? I mean, I know this is sort of the unconventional shared desk, but I also think that this is something that not just authors that are looking to get to the next step in their careers, authors that are established. I think these are things that we have to consider, and it's so I don't mind
It's nice to have a talk with other people.
Yeah. It's also nice
because sometimes we're like a two-headed hydra, like pecking at each other.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a third head to peck at.
And go, yeah. Isn't that a lovely image?
I'm so
yes, Lisa.
You're
the third head of the hydra. So we usually wrap up by saying, well, what's coming up next? So I guess one of the things we can talk about is that we have been officially made guests of the Steampunk World's Fair in Piscataway, New Jersey.
Yes. And we're going to be at Balticon.
We're also going to be at Balticon. And
are you going to be at Balticon, Lisa?
I'm trying to convince the hubby that we may go to Balticon this year.
Oh, get him to take his Xbox 360. You'll be fine.
Yeah. plug it into the Marriott TV. You're
Slap
good.
Slap on some Skylanders. You're
and,
good.
And you're good. You're gold. You're freaking gold.
Working on it.
Lisa, is there any place that you're planning on going to, as in writers' conferences, or are we just talking about the Tuesday special?
The Tuesday special is definitely in the works for me for the foreseeable future.
Did you want to pimp that?
That's what I'm
sure.
saying. That's what's called a segue, Pip.
I will definitely pimp the Tuesday special. So the Tuesday special is the Fox Mill Writers Group. It is a group of writers that meets in Herndon, Virginia, at the Fox Mill Starbucks. I will pimp the Starbucks. They are wonderful and very supportive. And not only do they give us lovely warm drinks and a place to sit,
they don't give us lovely warm drinks. We got to pay for those puppies.
Sometimes they bring them over to us. You just haven't been there long enough. But they also want to read all our books, even though you guys are the only ones who are officially published at this point. But there's a large group. We've grown from two people in November of 2010 to now we're up to, 15?
Yeah.
We had that one turnout like 2 weeks ago.
It was
where
12 people?
Yeah, like 12?
No, it was like 14.
Ooh. We nearly owned the
one person not there.
There's one moment of brilliant comedy I got to talk about with the Fox Mill Writing Group. I'm the only testosterone of the group presently. And
Rachel for you.
Yeah, it's fun though.
Morris, 15 ladies. Yeah, or 14 ladies.
14 ladies, one man. I'm liking those odds. But what was really funny was that we were sitting around and this is what during the big gathering. And I remember saying being the token testosterone here at the table, here's the easiest way to write scenes involving a man. The woman should never hear what the man is saying, especially when he's talking. And the writer sitting next to me took out her earbuds and said, "I'm sorry, T, what was that?" And she was dead serious. I just remember we all exploded laughing, and I'm just like, this is comedy. You can't write.
It's a wonderful group of people.
Great group of people.
And it's amazing how it started. It started with NaNoWriMo. And it just kind of, and then it happened because I am an overscheduled mother who didn't realize that she double scheduled the preschool coffee clutch with the writer's group.
Oh, what a delightful coincidence that you...
And suddenly we had a writer's group. So there you go.
Is that how it all happened? Okay.
And it's a constructive writer's group, so that's the better
nice.
Part.
So if people want to come along, they could come along on a Tuesday.
Tuesday, yep. Between roughly 10 and 12?
Actually, between roughly about 9:30 and 1.
9:30 and 1, then. Okay.
Come and go as you please, and we'll be the ones taking up the middle table.
Trust me, you can't miss us. You cannot miss us. So we're going to wrap up. We appreciate you guys sitting out and listening to us. And Lisa, thank you very much for joining us on this show.
Did you want to pimp any of your, we usually talk about our Twitter handles and our Facebooks and all of that.
Just leahdonna.com at this point. I'm working on getting T has promised to help me set up my Twitter eventually.
Uh-huh. Eventually.
So we'll get there.
And, yeah. and we'll have links to that and your blog post in the show notes.
And ourselves, of course, you can find Pip at Philippa Jane on Twitter.
And
myself.
You can find him at T. Morris.
No, Team Monster.
You confuse me.
Oh, please, Team Monster on Twitter. Yes. Don't worry, a pretty head. We'll pass some legislation.
I'm gonna bite that handle.
And of course, there's pjballantine.com. Now try it.
TMorris.com.
Thank you.
Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences.com.
And
TheShareDesk.com.
Yes. Man, I'm working this bell out. Woo! And as always, the Shared Desk is a 3.0 share alike, no derivatives, non-commercial, United States license, protected under the Creative Commons. You can find out more about them at creativecommons.org. Yeah!
You got it out.
Suck it! Sorry.
Sorry, he always such gets a, that wrong.
Such
but
a
now.
Horrible thing to say after,
I was staring
such,
at
after, such, after such sensitive conversation.
Suck it!
Suck it!
But it's fun.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and get this. We made it through the episode with the shelf still on the
there
wall.
There was a cat on the shelf, but he decided not to rip it down off the wall today.
Yes, but now I got to go clean up some cat pee. So until next time, hey, everybody, enjoy the ride.
And I'll catch you later.